Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Sarah Fenske. Last month, the artists Jay-Z and Pharrell dropped a new track. It's called Entrepreneur, and it celebrates Black people who build successful businesses, even as it calls out the conditions that hold their peers back from similar success.
Lies told to you through YouTubes and Hulus. Shows with no hues that look like you do. Black Twitter was that when Jack is paid. Do you for everyone? Gucci support two Fubus. Sipping Crippa Cola, consumer and a owner. Till we all vertically integrated from the flow up. Do say power, sip ace till I throw up. Like gang signs, sip I bang minds for both ya. Serial entrepreneur, we on our own. Stop sitting around waiting for folks to throw you a bone. If you can't buy the building, at least stock the shelf. Then keep on stacking till you stocking for yourself. See everything you place after black. It's too small a term to completely describe the act. Black nation, black builder, black entrepreneur. You want to press black excellence, now on the ball.
Now, that track is Entrepreneur by Pharrell featuring Jay-Z, and it got St. Louis-based filmmaker David Kirkman thinking. He ended up shooting a St. Louis-centric video to go with it. It highlights 9 local Black entrepreneurs. And it's proven such a hit that Kirkman and producer Jason Wilson are hitting the road to film versions in other cities. The Tulsa video has already dropped, and this weekend they're filming in Nashville. And they joined me today to talk about it. So, David Kirkman, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah.
And Jason Wilson, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you very much, Sarah.
So, David, I want to start with you. Pharrell does a great job of highlighting some Black entrepreneurs in his video. What made you decide to do a St. Louis-specific version?
It kind of started, it's a very interesting story. When they had released the music video a few weeks ago, I saw it as soon as it dropped on YouTube, and then I thought, like, to myself, you know, it would be nice if we did something like this on a minuscule level here in St. Louis, really spotlighting the Black entrepreneurs here. And that's what it was. It was just a thought. And then Jason ended up calling me later on that night and had asked if I had seen the video. And I was like, yeah, of course I've seen the video. And he's like, man, we should do one here for St. Louis. And it was that very interesting synchronicity where we ended up, you know, we were excited about it. It was kind of like confirmation and from the initial thought, and we decided to do it. So
now, Jason, you're an entrepreneur yourself. You're the owner and CEO of Northwest Coffee Roasting Company. What did you hope to accomplish by showcasing so many of these St. Louis businesses?
You know, so our goal is three-pronged. One is we wanted to promote businesses here in St. Louis and to make sure that they're out and available for people to see. I think what happens is a lot of it get discounted as African-American businesses and often looked over. I wanted to put them on in a position to be seen and known. The other one is I believe in David Kirkman. And David is a phenomenal filmmaker. And I support him. We're in business together, but I wanted people to see what kind of work he can do. And this was one platform where I thought, you know, this will get a lot of people's attention and, and just give him some good kind of support and love that he needs, that, as well as coming out of St. Louis and an entrepreneur himself.
Okay, so your business is featured here, but there's also 8 others. And with so many of these businesses in St. Louis that are owned by Black entrepreneurs doing so well, I imagine part of the challenge was just narrowing it down. How did you guys possibly decide, David, on who the other 8 were going to be?
It kind of ended up being a snowball kind of effect where there really wasn't a concise plan from the very beginning. However, we had a very strong vision, and the process was an extremely creative and fluid process. And so we would film one entrepreneur, and then we would brainstorm who else in our network would be really good for the video.
So you didn't have a master plan before you started filming. You just kind of dove in one at a time.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. So
I couldn't help but notice the lyrics talk about a black man and they talk about Mr. Entrepreneur. But you feature a lot of women in this. Was that intentional?
Yeah, it was very intentional. And, you know, there is this, you know, stigma or this stereotype that, you know, black entrepreneurs are regulated even to just the cooking space or the cooking world. And that's just not the case. You know, there's a variety of different fields and industries that black people have their hands in. And so we really wanted to showcase that. We really wanted to highlight that. And even though the lyrics do say, you know, repeat, you know, black man, black man, black man, it really is the context of all of it is really talking about the entire spectrum of blackness. And so when you begin to see it in that light, then I think you have to really approach the entire process from a standpoint of showing that entire spectrum.
I got to ask you about something else. One of the most striking things about this video is you make St. Louis look so good. I'm seeing the city in this video and I'm like, man, I wish my city looked like that. This is my city. Like, you just make it look beautiful. People like to show how tough a city it is. They like to show the vacants, you know, bombed out blocks. You kind of made St. Louis look pretty glamorous. Was that intentional as well?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there always has to be a balance. You know, the balance is between showing what the real realities are that are plaguing the black community, that are plaguing the entire city, and then also highlighting the things that are very positive that are in that are happening in the city. And that's what the emphasis in the video was. It was to highlight all of the positive things that are happening.
So, Jason, your role in this, you're the producer. Were you out there with David when he was doing some of this filming?
Yes. When David and I, when Dave was filming, so the beautiful thing about this, this was a real collaborative effort, right? David, we were like, let's go find some people that we know. So my job with David, to help David out, was really to communicate with some of the entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And really just make them feel comfortable about the process. Because remember, we had just literally made the decision and made a one phone call. And next thing you know, we are like at 9 people's doors within 2 days.
That's amazing.
Actually 10. So, yeah, I was just there watching David do his thing. I'm always intrigued by his ability to make people feel comfortable and get the right shots. And And my other job was to talk to my friends who are entrepreneurs. So that was it was a fun time, fun process.
So you talked them right into it. This video turned out great. We're going to have this linked on our website. That's stlpublicradio.org so people can see it for themselves. And as proof of how well this turned out, you don't just need me to tell you that. Pharrell himself actually tweeted this video. David, that's huge. What kind of a boost did that give you?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, to go straight basically to the top. You know, when you have artists and people, influencers in that space, they don't just share anything. So it has to be something that is really worthwhile. And, you know, they've worked their butts off trying to build their audience and things like that. And so it was incredible, honestly. And I think the people from St. Louis even saw it as validation, you know, that we were able to get even that amount of exposure at that level.
So now that it's getting all this attention, I imagine you're probably hearing from a lot of people who are like, hey, why didn't you pick me? Is there sort of a downside to viral fame?
I wouldn't necessarily say there's a downside, or honestly, I haven't really even gotten that. But because you can always do a part two, you can always do a part three, and there's more and more entrepreneurs who you can always share their stories for. So it's not like a one and done deal. And it's not even, you know, we don't even want to have the aura of saying that this is an exclusive kind of club or anything like that. But I mean, if there's any opportunity, if, you know, there's some more time for us to go back and do a part two or part three to showcase more entrepreneurs, you know, we'll very much do that.
We're talking today to filmmaker David Kirkman. His new St. Louis-centric version of Entrepreneur is now up on YouTube. It's been tweeted by Pharrell. It's just a great showcase for our city and of the Black entrepreneurs within it. And it was produced by Jason Wilson, who people know as the owner and CEO of Northwest Coffee Roasting Company. He's also one of the people featured within it. Now, you guys had this very successful collaboration here. What made you decide after this, yeah, let's take this show on the road? Whose idea was that?
You know, we both had the idea that we wanted to go somewhere else. I mean, we were geeked after we saw the outcome of the St. Louis edition, and so you know we were talking with my wife Shanti, and we were just like, we want to go somewhere else. We were just saying a bunch of cities that were within maybe 5 to 6 mile, 5 hour, 5 hour radius, 6 hour radius, and Tulsa to us was like the natural place to go to. It has an amazing amount of history when it comes to 1921, the terror that was wreaked on Black Wall Street, and how it devastated the city, and how it's been a very slow recovery. Although there are African Americans there who are have the courage to, you know, try and build businesses there, we wanted to go there and feature kind of all of that. The history, the past, the now, but really focused on the present. And it was a natural thing for us. And we learned so much from that process.
So, yeah, as Jason is talking about there, Tulsa, Oklahoma has just an amazing story for people who aren't familiar with it. It's a devastating story. It was home to a thriving Black community, an area known as Black Wall Street. And this area was attacked, basically, in a riot by a bunch of angry people. And they firebombed part of the place. At least 36 people were killed. The thought is that many more people were probably killed that haven't been recorded in history. 35 square blocks were destroyed. David, what was it like? You know, I know this was 100 years ago, but I imagine that history still resonates today.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is that, you know, we were riding to Tulsa just so geeked about learning about this this history. And at least in my mind, you know, I thought that there would have been like a museum. I thought there would have been, you know, like tourist attractions or things to show that the city would show that it really recognizes that history and that it's trying to move forward in a positive way. And that's one of the things that we learned was that, like Jason said, it's in a very, very slow recovery mode. And it also had me think about just how Tulsa and even the history of like St. Louis and East St. Louis are very much, you know, they're very much alike. You know, the East St. Louis massacre happened just 4 years before the Tulsa massacre happened, or the Black Wall Street massacre had happened. And so it's just interesting to see how history kind of replayed itself out even within that 4 or 5 year time span.
Yeah, that's a very similar incident, honestly, that happened in 1917 in East St. Louis, where, again, there was pretty much a race riot where a bunch of white people went and attacked Black people living in that community there. But you said you were expecting to see some sort of, you know, museum, something to commemorate this. Did you find anything when you were there?
Well, when we got there, we saw that they were in the beginning stages of constructing a museum. And so that's literally 100 years later after the fact. And I honestly, it wasn't, you know, I'm 25, but it wasn't until I even got to college that I learned about Black Wall Street. It wasn't until I got to college where I even learned about, you know, the history of East St. Louis. And, you know, there are a few buildings that are still intact, but it is experiencing a lot of gentrification. You could go up one way on Black Wall Street and they'll take you into what would, you know, we would consider, you know, our North St. Louis, or you would go one, you know, in the opposite direction, and that would take you into a very gentrified area of what used to be a classical historical Wall Street, Black Wall Street. So it was very interesting to see just how that one event really changed the entire trajectory of that entire community.
And you were able to include some historic footage in this video. Where did you get that footage from?
I got it from the Congressional Archives. And so I did a lot of digging and, you know, a lot of, you know, those, that footage is for free. And so I was able to utilize that. There wasn't a lot that I could honestly find online about it. And so, but the Congressional Archives had some, and I was able to utilize that.
So, Jason, you drew on a lot of your connections with entrepreneurs here in St. Louis and in getting people to participate in this. Was it harder in Tulsa where you didn't know people or know them as well going in?
You know, so it was extremely difficult, and not for the reasons of not knowing anybody. We actually, my wife had a connection down there who went to UVA with her, and so that was kind of our tour guide. But when we first got there, she wasn't available, this person. And when we first got there, we pulled up right there on Greenwood, and it was an amazing scene. First of all, we were walking around, and people knew that we weren't from there. I guess we looked like we weren't from there, and they ran up to us. And what it seemed like to me at that point in time, it seemed like they were looking for opportunity, an opportunity to have access to something that wasn't there in their community.
Hmm.
But, you know, being able to meet those people, then the person, someone who was kind of helping us out there, really helped us understand the topsy-turvy, like, politics of the community.
Hmm.
It's a smaller community, a very small middle-class community. And you know, we were about to step into some landmines. We had no idea, you know, what was happening there in the town, the culture there, but the person who helped us out really helped us step around some of those landmines and navigate us to the right people in the community. But overall, like, it was a bit rough at first, but I mean, that was a part of the process. That's what made it unique and fun, being able to go there without a plan, go there not really knowing anything, not being, you know, jaded or skewed in one direction, but going there and making song out of silence. And that's something that we did. We were able to go there, meet people, and we made a very beautiful visual and gave some real good context to go along with that.
I get the sense with you, too, that you're pretty comfortable winging it. You're able to kind of dive in knowing you have a vision, but you kind of trust the details to work out. Is that also your plan as you're heading into Nashville?
Yeah, I think that's our plan, Dave. You can chime in on this, man, but that's our plan. Our plan today is to get down here. We're going to call a few people that we know, but we don't really know much of anything about Nashville when it comes to the entrepreneur landscape and African Americans being entrepreneurs in that community. And we hope to get down here and find the same things, to find some real gems and put them in a position that they're being advertised and advocated for. And we want people to patronize them. We want people to support them.
So, David, do you have do you plan at this point to just continue to explore Black entrepreneurship in different cities? Do you see this continuing after Nashville?
Absolutely. The incredible thing that, you know, we see that is very much happening is that there's connections that are being made, a lot of networking opportunities between, you know, some of Tulsa and some of St. Louis. And I think the same thing is really going to happen in Nashville, you know, connections that, you know, we simply didn't have before, not even for ourselves, but the entrepreneurs themselves as well. And so, yeah, you know, we'll still go along with just the flow of things. You know, we're not like trying to be super aggressive about it, but just in a natural flow of, you know, going from city to city and really learning about the culture of the city and learning about the different dynamics and learning about the positivity that the Black entrepreneurs are bringing to their cities by employing people and by doing great things in their own communities. And that's the thing that, you know, I'm very excited about, because it varies from city to city and it varies from, you know, scale to scale as well. So I'm very excited about it, and we are going to do more.
So, Jason, in our last question here, I want to bring this back to you because you are a Black entrepreneur, and that's what this song is about and what these videos are about. And the lyrics are pretty frank about some of the challenges faced by Black entrepreneurs. At one point, Pharrell says, "The system imprison young Black boys, distract with white noise." Jay-Z references the lack of representation in the media, lies told to you through YouTubes and Hulus, shows with no hues that look like you do. I'm wondering, has your road been tougher because you're Black?
Yes. It's been a very difficult process, and I'll be honest to you. Like right now, so for example, right now during COVID, we have had the best time in our business's history.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, one, it's because of COVID, and then two, because, you know, when the unfortunate timing and sacrifice of George Floyd, and then this movement to wanting to buy black and support black has tipped the scale for me. You know, we were already doing well during COVID, and then this just took it to the next level. But I can't help, you know, I can't forget that I kind of have a PTSD, actually. Mm-hmm. I can't forget that these things come and go for me. I've seen it before where I've worked hard. I've taken a lot of risk, and it hasn't always panned out. You know, it's always, I've been, you know, always pretty good, you know, known as great, but not well supported. And so that's why the song resonates so well, you know. And yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing being a black entrepreneur. I hate to dwell on it because it sounds like one is crying, but actually what I'm trying to say is that you gotta keep it moving. There's a gray area, and you have to learn to deal with that gray area as a black entrepreneur, and get through that gray area because there will be some type of light on the other side that provides some definitive direction and change and success. But the problem is just getting through that. There's a lot you're losing. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot to risk, and you know, it's a complicated process, but. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole goal of entrepreneur. This is what we're doing. We're just trying to make sure that we put people in position so they won't have such a hard time as described in this song. Yeah, let's put some success.
Well, that's some good advice, and it's also a sobering reality that I guess we can all keep in mind, even as we're celebrating everything you're celebrating in these videos. So, Jason Wilson, the CEO of Northwest Coffee Roasting Company, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Sarah.
And filmmaker David Kirkman, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on the success of these videos.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that video, the St. Louis edition of Entrepreneur, you can find that on our website. That's stlpublicradio.org. Podcast episodes of St. Louis on the Air are available at stlpublicradio.org, or you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, the Stitcher Podcast app, or wherever you get your podcasts. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Evie Hemphill and Lara Hamden, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr. The senior producer is Emily Woodbury, and the executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. That's 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Sarah Fenske.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.